Hey, it's the Big Boss Man, your old pal GM Jared here, and I live for this.
Our Chuck wins it in. Here's Lemieux poking at the center. Lemieux ahead to Gretzky. Has Murphy with him on a 2-on-1 to Lemieux. And on goal, he shoots, he scores! Mario Lemieux with 1:26 remaining.
The Hockey Show. Thursdays at 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM. Because we all live for this.
That? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Hey, turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head!
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
Why did you stop the jazz music? Was it not pleasant for you?
No one plays jazz here.
So why is the song on the jukebox?
We keep it on there for profiling purposes. We also got the Pet Shop Boys and Seal.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
I can't understand a word you said the whole time.
Did you eat some peanut butter or something?
It's been a wreck, me, we, 60 plus from dawn to dusk in the red dirt heat, busting it up for a couple of bucks, but it ain't no thing. Just another day till I'm on my way to them cool, cool sheets. And you and me working on the night shift, baby. Talk, I know what you want and what you like, 'cause I do too. Yeah, I love how you leave on the lights, not a thing between you and me, and it feels so nice when you and I are working on the night shift, baby.
Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you along, everybody. Glad to have you with us tonight. Hope everybody had a great Canada Day yesterday. Obviously, big day for Canada, 153 years old. Congratulations to the nation as we move into the 154th year of existing. In saying that, though, I want to talk to somebody who has made her mark in Canada West hockey, speaking of Canada. So we're not going to waste any time. We're going to get talking to her as we have a ton of stuff to go over in her career. She's done a ton of stuff that is absolutely phenomenal. So let's get into it. Tonight, The Hockey Show welcomes one of the best women's hockey players to come out of our province in recent years. She has been to an Esso Cup. She has been named to Manitoba's top 40 players in the Program of Excellence, and she's won a medal at the Manitoba Winter Games. Many of her teammates have gone on to play for the Manitoba Bison Women's Hockey Program, but this particular Manitoban plays for an opposing team here in Canada West. Not holding that against her, though, she's been an outstanding performer for the Regina Cougars, where she's shown some incredible tenacity as a defensively-minded forward, despite her 5'3" frame. When she's not on the ice, she can be found playing a pile of other sports, coaching, or in the gym as she prepares for her fifth season of eligibility. Ladies and gentlemen, The Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome one of Manitoba's finest hockey players in Miss Chelsea Hulson to the show. Chelsea, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Not too much craziness in that intro for you. You're okay with that? We covered off everything there?
Yeah, no, that was good.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure we didn't miss anything important on that. More importantly than the intro and everything else, how's everything going in your circle? Everybody healthy? Everybody safe? Everybody doing well during these crazy times?
Yeah, everyone's good. I think. Okay. Nice to be getting out a little more, less craziness at home.
Less cooped up with the family and everything. Yeah, I get that. That's no problem. So, I mean, let's go into this because we got a lot to go over. You've done a ton of stuff in your career so far, Chelsea. So we'll start back at the beginning of the Chelsea Hulson story. Holy smokes, I can't even speak today. As it begins on January 2nd, 1998, What was life like for young Chelsea growing up in the Halston household?
I guess it was kind of crazy. I grew up with, I was the only sibling for 5 years, and then I now have 5 siblings, so growing up was kind of crazy. My mom and my dad are separated, so I was back and forth to the rink, in and out, all day.
So, in other words, it went from being quiet to being very not quiet?
Yeah, pretty much. I was the beginning of the busyness, I guess.
That's all right, though. Nothing wrong with that. You are the eldest of 5 siblings, from what you were saying. How was that experience in terms of being, you know, the influence and, quote-unquote, setting an example for younger people in the house?
It's been different, I guess. It's funny, you don't think people really look up to you when you're just growing up, but then all of a sudden you have 4 siblings who think they're going to play hockey, so I guess you end up having a bit of an influence on them, but I still have 3 who play hockey, so yeah,
maybe
I won't be the best Tolson.
That's okay. I was going to say, the fourth that broke away, what's that person doing now? Nothing sporting?
The one is more in the ball, softball.
Okay.
Yeah, and then my one sister actually never ended up playing. She wasn't interested in the busy life.
Again, nothing wrong with that. If she's got her own stuff going on, that's all right. Yeah. So let's get into your part of it then, in terms of the hockey, because there's a lot, like we said, to go over. According to my research, you started playing hockey at 5 years old because your friends, who were mostly boys, were starting hockey as well. And you continued playing boys hockey right through until bantam hockey. Was it fun playing with the boys? And more importantly, were you better than the boys?
It was fun for the most part. As I got older, it was a little different. They like to pick on me and stuff, but that was fine. I guess I didn't really have any other options, so playing boys was just kind of what it was when I was growing up.
Well, I mean, clearly it worked out. I mean, you ended up playing some high-level hockey, so looks like it's going all right. Yeah. You also played a ton of sports growing up, though. Tough question for you, but, I mean, maybe you have a favorite. If you weren't playing hockey at the University of Regina, in what other sport would you have liked to have played at a higher level?
I probably would have pursued softball a little more if I wasn't so serious about hockey.
Obviously, softball, you're super heavy into still in terms of some of the stuff that I read about. So what makes that the secondary sport for you? What makes it so fun?
I don't know. I just like having that summer sport, something to get away from the rink. So it was nice being outside. And I don't know. All my friends played it growing up, so it's kind of just what I got into.
In an interview with the University of Regina, at least when you were talking to their sports department, you said that you never played summer hockey when you were growing up either. Is that true?
Yeah, I actually played 1 summer of summer hockey, and I didn't really enjoy it that much, so I never went back. I needed that break. It was too long for me. I like getting away from the rink.
I mean, we always ask about this because we find out, you know, players are playing other sports and doing other things. Do you find that playing other sports has helped you in hockey in terms of, you know, just athleticism, different things going on in the sport? Do you find that those additional sports, you know, baseball, softball, hand-eye coordination, all that kind of stuff, has really made a difference in terms of how you play the game?
Yeah, for sure. I think it brings in different aspects of your game that you unconsciously work on throughout the summer. Like you said, like hand-eye and ball. And I mean, I used to love running a lot, so I did a lot of running, which I think is great conditioning for hockey. Even just like your mental game, just getting that like different atmosphere of playing with different sports and doing different things, you kind of take that back to hockey. And
I was going to say, you said you used to like running. You don't like running anymore? No.
Well, I still like running, actually. I don't run to compete, I guess.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. Just like, no. You used to like it. You're like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm out with that.
Oh, now it's like a hobby, I guess.
Okay, no, that's fair.
Last time.
2014, let's start there, because there was a lot going on in terms of hockey at that point for you. 2014 saw you play with Team Central at the Manitoba Winter Games, where you and your teammates earned a silver medal after losing to the final to Westman, where you had a ton of talent, a pile of future teammates of yours on their squad as opposed to your squad. What do you recall about playing in those Winter Games? Is that sort of the first real, hey, this might be a future for me?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I remember getting my parents got a phone call one day, or I did, when I was playing Central, and they said, you've been selected to be on Team Central for the Manitoba Winter Games. And I was like, oh, well, what's the Manitoba Winter Games? I had no idea what it was. I'd never heard of them. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty cool. And then I realized that it's actually like a selection. So that was like the beginning of actually like top 100 for that year instead of having the camp for Hockey Manitoba. So that was a good experience. It was fun. We actually stayed in like the high school in classrooms. They had like cots we slept on while we were there. Yeah, it was a quite interesting experience, and they fed us, and yeah, it was pretty good.
I mean, you guys ended up, again, earning a silver medal, so it's not like you did very poorly. I mean, obviously, you know, losing sucks at the end, but, I mean, one of the final two teams, so that's okay. You grew up in Starbuck, Manitoba, which means you weren't far from Winnipeg, but you played midget hockey out in Portage la Prairie for the Central Plains Capitals, which was a bit of a hike on a daily basis when you consider the 45-minute drive there and back. Was there times where you're just like, nah, man, I should have played in Winnipeg. Forget this Portage la Prairie stuff.
Well, since I live full time at my mom's, I didn't really have the option of playing in Winnipeg.
Okay.
At the time, I mean, there was times where I was like, oh, maybe I should just play high school hockey or something. At the beginning, just, yeah, the drive does get old, but then, you know, you make friends and things start to go good out there. So
I'd say
really enjoyed my time in Portage, actually.
Yeah, I'd say things went pretty well. You spent three memorable seasons with the Capitals as part of the Manitoba Female Midget Hockey League. 32 goals, 48 assists, and 168 games for the Capitals. We're like top five in scoring like every season. Looking back, though, what stands out from your 3 years when you think back to all the games you played, the team, the players? What's the memory that sort of stands out from playing with the Capitals?
Probably our last two seasons. Like, I'd never been on a championship team like that. Like, we made a run 2 years in a row, which was super exciting, especially in my final year when they thought we weren't going to be the best team at all. So it was fun. It was a good experience. It's nice to win something.
it is nice to win. I won't deny that. You mentioned in interviews that both Ferdy Nielsen and Richard Oswald played huge roles in helping you get to the next level. Talk a little bit about your coaches with Central Plains and how they helped you, you know, advance as a hockey player and get better in order to reach the post-secondary level.
So I guess I started in Portage in Bantam, actually. My first year Bantam, I played for Central Plains, and we played in actually the midget AA league.
Okay.
Or the Bantam AA league out of Winnipeg. So kind of started there, and my first year going, or my last year at Bantam, I ended up APing for the midget team a few times, and I was scared, like, worst experience. I was so nervous to be on the ice with them, and whatever. It went well. So then the next year, my first year midget trying out, Ferdy like gave me the chance, I guess, on the team. And they just like provide lots of opportunities. He's really good at letting you know what schools were interested in you and helping you reach out to them. And then Richard, he's a old school, I guess, if you could call it that. He's a hard practice guy. So he pushed me every day at practice so hard. And it was a good 3 years there.
Obviously, you know, having two coaches that believe in you is a big thing. But it seems like you guys grew fairly well together. Had some good players, obviously, in and around you as well. Players that we know very well, Michaela Fisher, Sheridan Oswald, Chloe Snaith, those players that came along. Obviously, Emily Upgang, who's now out in Saskatchewan. you know, Tamara McNannell, who was a teammate of yours in Regina for one season anyway. Lauren Tereshchuk was there as well. So, I mean, lots of players that we're familiar with out here. But 2015 saw Central Plains kind of, as you said, make a run for it, win the female Manitoba Female Midget Hockey League, which allowed the Capitals to represent Manitoba at the 2015 Esso Cup in Red Deer, Alberta. What was it like going on the road trip of your life that far anyway? And what stands out for you from that tournament?
Well, we actually got to fly to Red Deer for that tournament.
Yeah.
It was a cool experience. We stayed in a hotel all week, got our meals paid for. It was really, I guess, cool to be at a national like tournament with like players you've played with for so long rather than just like a provincial team or something.
Yeah.
I found really cool because we were all there together. We were good friends. So it was like, it made the experience really fun. And most people's parents came out. Yeah, it was hard competition. That's for sure. We were lucky enough to get a bye actually to Esso. We didn't have to play Westerns.
Oh, that's okay then.
That year because Quebec didn't bring a team to represent. So Saskatchewan and us got to go. And that's actually who we ended up playing in the bronze medal game.
I was going to say, we'll talk about that in a second. You made your impact out there, though. Scored one goal, one assist to the Esso Cup. Your goal came in the second game the Capitals played. You scored at 7:06 in the first period against the Saskatoon Stars. Made it a 1-0 game in what eventually became a 3-2 loss, unfortunately. But was that the game where you were named player of the game at the Esso Cup?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. That was the round robin game?
Yes.
Or was that the...
No, that's the round robin game, yeah.
Yeah. So actually in the bronze medal game, I was player of the game.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, against Saskatoon.
I knew it was one
of the... We played them twice in the tournament, yeah.
I knew it was one of the two games at Saskatoon because it was listed on the site or whatever, but I was just like, "What? They didn't specify which one." So I thought, oh, well, she scored the goal. Maybe it's that one, but
that's yeah.
I mean, looking back at that, obviously bronze medal, you know, losing to Saskatoon. Saskatoon had a stacked team that year, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it was basically the Shirleys and everybody else on that team. So with three of them playing, Grace, Abby, and Sophie. So, I mean, what was it like playing in that bronze medal game knowing, like, oh my gosh, like we have a chance here?
It was exciting. I don't know. We were sad that we didn't make it to the finals because it was on TSN and stuff. But I guess that chance to win the bronze medal was there still. So it was, I mean, we were happy to even make it to the playoffs in that tournament. So it was still a good experience, even though we lost. I think we were sad in the beginning, but I mean, to come home fourth in the country in a year is still a pretty big accomplishment.
Pretty big, I would say, for sure. You guys, and I hate to say this, but you guys lost in the semifinal to a team you had beaten in the round robin. Is that correct? Did you lose to Sudbury, right?
Yes,
you had beaten them in the round robin and lost to Sudbury, who eventually won the whole thing. So yeah, I can understand a little bit of disappointment on that, which is okay. But things were looking up for you, though, Chelsea. People were noticing you. You were named to Team Manitoba's Top 40 Players as part of the Program of Excellence that summer. Some pretty big names, but looking at that team, you guys have pretty much covered Canada West. Nearly all of Canada West is represented, as Jaden Cook and Kenzie Robinson went to UBC. Abby Krasaniak went to Alberta. Emily Madaw went to Saskatchewan. You jumped to Regina. Tatum Amy went to Mount Royal. And the Bisons have picked up Megan Duzik and Janae Buchanan from that group. We didn't even mention names like Logan Angers, Ashton Bell, or Kayla Friesen, who went to the NCAA. Do you know you're in, like, at that point, you're like, all right, there's probably going to be some schools that come calling then.
Yeah, I actually kind of, I guess, started more pursuing after Esso Cup that year. We got a lot of exposure there, I guess. But yeah, there's really big names in our year, so it made it tough to find spots and make your name when there's a lot of other really talented girls doing the same.
Well, you did make a name for yourself, though, having a solid season in 2015-2016 with Central Plains. You had 18 goals and 20 assists. You did get a phone call. When did you find out that Sarah Hodges and the Regina Cougars were interested in having you join the squad?
I think we started talking in early September of my grade 12 year. And then we had a game against Yellowhead and Shoal Lake. And after the game, we just me and my mom continued on to Regina, and we went for a tour there one day. And yeah, I really liked the campus. Sarah's really nice coach, like got along well. The girls seemed nice there. So seemed like it was going to be a good fit. Wasn't too far from home. So yeah, it took me till I think November, October to finally commit and say I was going to go there. But yeah, it was a process.
Were there other schools that came? You don't have to name them. Obviously, don't put down anybody. You don't have to. But were there other schools that came calling about having Chelsea Olsen in their lineup?
There was a couple other places that I was looking into. It was a hard decision, but I felt Regina had the most interest, and it seemed like it was going to be a good fit for my playing and stuff like that.
No, I mean, that's totally fair. And certainly, I mean, it seems like you fit in well there. So what did your parents think of Sarah and obviously of Regina coming to maybe recruit their daughter?
I don't know. My dad's looking at me with the thumbs down right now. I don't know. They were happy for me to go there. I think happy to get me out of the house, maybe.
Well, let's not go that far. But I mean, hey, it's school, right? I mean, that's awesome. So
they liked it there too. They thought it was good, and I don't know. Kind of got me out of the province. I wanted to kind of like get out and go try playing somewhere else because I don't know. I thought it'd be a different experience playing with some different teammates.
Sure. No, I mean, that's totally fair too. Yeah. So you get to campus in September, get into somewhat normal school routine, and then hockey starts in October. October 7th, 2016 was a big night for you. You suited up against the Mount Royal Cougars in your very first Canada West regular season hockey game. What are the emotions like for you before your very first Canada West game?
Oh, I was nervous, that's for sure. Yeah, it was big adjustment going from midget to Canada West. The speed and the physicality, everything really just doubles. So it was hard as a little rookie. I for sure wasn't as strong as I should have been going into my first year. I had a lot of learning to do that year. So it was a good experience. Yeah.
You hit a milestone that night though. Do you recall why?
No, I don't.
Your very first Canada West point came in that game on an assist on an empty net goal by Lila Carpenter-Bosch at 19:46 of the third period.
I did not know that, actually.
There you go. See, we do our research here to find out when the milestones hit. So yeah. first point came in your very first game as a Regina Cougar. So that's a pretty big mark, I would say. Yeah. The next milestone came on January 6, 2017, which was the first game back out of the December break. Do you recall why that night was a milestone?
Oh, yep. Won't forget that one. Double overtime against U of M.
That is correct. Your first goal and first game winner came at 4:14 of double overtime when you beat Rachel Dick of the Manitoba Bisons for the victory. What do you recall about that night?
Well, I recall that Bisons are one of our bigger rivals in the league, and we didn't have a very good history of actually beating the Bisons. So, yeah, that double overtime felt good and got the monkey off the back, too. I think I was almost crying when I scored. I was so happy.
That's awesome. But, do you still have the puck? Did you keep the puck?
I have the puck.
Nice. Right on. That's a good historic moment and certainly a souvenir from that game. I don't want to admit this, but ironically, I wrote something dumb that day or that weekend about the recap when I wrote, quote, Regina picked up the missed shot as Kylie Cooper fed Chelsea Halson up the ice, who broke in on a 2-on-1 with Alexis Larson. It takes real moxie to look off a veteran like Larson, but Halson opted to keep the puck and wired a shot that beat Rachel Dick with 46 seconds remaining for the 2-1 double overtime victory. Clearly, I knew nothing about this Halson kid who proved she got some skills because, yeah, I mean, that was a pretty nice goal from what I've seen on the replay. So when you sort of look back, do you go, yeah, whatever, I was a rookie, but, like, do you know that you're holding onto the puck when Larson's, you know, coming down the rink on the other side and you're going, no, I'm shooting this one. This is mine. Like, do you feel it? Like, is it just sort of I got to take the shot on this one?
You know, to be honest, even surprised to be on the ice. I was in my first year. I hadn't really scored a goal yet. And here we are in 3-on-3 overtime. And Sarah goes, oh, Chelsea, you're up next. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I've been sitting on the bench probably for the last five, ten minutes. And I'm like, well, I guess I got to go out there. So I got on the ice. And I think, like, as I got on the ice, I got a stretch pass up the ice. And I was just like, okay, I'm going. And then, to be honest, in that moment, I don't even know if I would have known Larson was there. I just shot that puck and hoped it went in.
And clearly it did. So congratulations. I mean, that's a huge moment there as you pick up your first goal, and certainly a monster goal for the Regina Cougars and the game winner. Weird sort of setup, but you guys make the playoffs in 2016-2017 to square off against your arch rivals from up the highway in the Saskatchewan Huskies. We in Bison's Nation think we know a little bit about rivalries with certain teams, but give us the truth on the rivalry that exists between the Cougars and Huskies, because we always believe that there's real hate between you two.
There's just that province, like, you want to be that best team in the province, right?
Right.
You don't want to back down, but we've always had really close games against U of S, so it's been frustrating to come up on the short side like two times, I think. Once? Yeah, just the one playoffs, I guess, that year. But I'm not sure. Like, I want to say we have almost stronger rivals against teams like U of M, too, but the history of the rivalry in Saskatchewan will never be gone.
No, I mean, that's, like I said, we always find it fun when you two square off and we're all like, oh, Battle Saskatchewan coming up. It's going to be good. So yeah. 2017-2018 saw you really, well, from what we thought anyway, really focus on the defensive side of the game. No goals, no points that season. Was there a change in the way that Sarah was using you? Were you given more defensive roles, or did it just end up that way?
You know what? My first and second year were definitely still trying to find my spot on the team, I think. And
okay.
We did have really strong players still my second year, I believe. Just trying to get all my years in order. I definitely filled the role of more of a penalty killer and those defensive situations. Yeah, I found myself, and I also was playing center, I believe, a lot that year, which was my usual position, but I've transferred more into the wing area, and I think I've found a better opportunity for myself there. So been working good at that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that if you can, you know, fit the role and find a good groove there. Nothing wrong with that. Clearly, mm-hmm. Things worked out better in year three. Career highs were established in 2018-2019. You scored 2 goals, added 7 assists. As broadcasters, we usually look at the third year as sort of the year where players, quote-unquote, turn the corner, where they figure out what it takes to win at the Canada West level. As a veteran at that point, did it feel like you had a better understanding in year three as to how you needed to play in order to be successful?
Yeah, definitely. My third year has probably been my best year so far. I think I found my groove. I was getting to the net more, which was getting me more opportunities for sure. My biggest issue is getting pucks on net. So just being able to find those spots and just go stand, even just standing in front of the net, was changing my game that year. But yeah, it was a good year for me.
We don't laugh because it's not fair, but we always sort of laugh because, I mean, it seems like sometimes shorter players, sometimes players who don't have the height that some of the other players do, either find a lot of success, like an Autumn McDougall, or they're the most tenacious, most, you know, unrelenting players on the ice. I mean, like Tiana Coe from Mount Royal, I mean, is a perfect example. We know that she's always going to be a pain and a thorn in everybody's side, and yet you can't shake her. And we kind of look at you the same way, where, you know, coming down the ice, you're just Halston with the forecheck, Halston with the backcheck. Like, what is going on? Do you find that playing that role is really good for you in the way that you bring your game to the ice now?
Yeah, I definitely try to be that way. I'm not the biggest point getter, but yeah, I guess I do fill my role by getting in those small areas and doing that work that, I mean, a lot of people don't want to do, but it's always kind of been my game, I guess. Growing up, I just loved, like, I loved skating. Like, I'd say I'm a good skater, so it's never been hard for me to, like, back check or go up in the rush. I just kind of just comes natural. I just start skating and I just go, so. That's what come naturally to me, so.
Yeah, no, I was going to say there's nothing wrong with the way that you're playing the game. I mean, like I said, we always, you know, like, shake a fist at Chelsea Halson ripping up and down the ice and causing problems for everybody. So that's okay here when we're watching you play against the Bisons. Last season had a goal and 3 assists. It seemed like Sarah really had you guys rolling though. Some great defensive hockey to vault up the standings in the second half of the season. You guys went into the December break at 3-10-3-0, tied for bottom of the standings with Manitoba. But went 6-3-2-1 in the second half of the season, looked like an entirely different team. What changed for you guys over that December break?
Well, once we hit that December break, I think we all just knew. We all knew there needed to be a change, and we needed to figure out what we need to do. So we had a team meeting, and our coach Sarah got us to read a book over the break about positivity and getting on the positive bus, we called it. So, at first, I think everyone thought, oh, this is cheesy. Like, why do we have to read this book over the break? And then we got back, and our first weekend back was in Lethbridge. And once we got to the hotel that day, we had another meeting just before we started our game. And we're just like, okay, like, we need to get rolling the second half, or we're not gonna be in playoffs. So everyone was just really excited to go, and that first weekend went awesome. And we just got the bus rolling from there.
that positivity bus, I like it. That's a good idea. Yeah. I have to ask only because I feel like this is a bit of an injustice that was done to you. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you've played in every single Regina Cougars game since arriving at the campus except for one. January 18th, 2020, in a home game against Mount Royal University, your name did not appear on the roster that night that was submitted for the first time ever in your university career. Why weren't you playing that night?
I was healthy. I don't know. I was not having my most consistent year, I guess, this last year. But we had a really good team, so trying to get all the forwards in and stuff, I understand there's tough decisions that need to be made, and didn't have my best game on the Friday night, so yeah, I didn't make her into the lineup on the Saturday.
Yet the weekend before against UBC, you had a goal in the Saturday game, and I was like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be. And again, I'm not taking the – Sarah knows way more than I do. I'm never going to say I know anything close to what Sarah knows, but I was like, wait a minute, she's played 100, like, every single game since, and you hold her. That's not fair. But I guess, like you said, I mean, it's about getting everybody in and putting the best team on the ice at that time. So I just was shocked that you weren't in the lineup, that's all. So I wanted to make sure that there was a reason why that – I mean, if it was explained to you or not explained to you, maybe we can get it on the record. But I mean, you guys won that night, so it didn't really matter. That's the important thing. The W matters, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There were some serious graduations this year. JC Magwood, Tamara McVannell, Jane Kish all played their final years of eligibility. You and a few other players are moving into your fifth year of eligibility, but it seems like we may have a very short season this year if things do eventually get off the ground. I know you don't want to be a student forever. I'm sure there's other things you want to do in life for sure, Chelsea. So how do you feel about using your fifth year in a season where you may only play 12 to 18 games? Would you consider redshirting for your senior season if, again, I don't know what your plans are for the future, but if you want to go back, would you consider redshirting this year? Or is this, you're just going to play out the season and go from wherever it goes from there?
Depending on whatever happens, I'm planning on playing out my season. I don't see myself redshirting. I'm finishing up my degree this year, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping we'll get some sort of season, but I don't. It's hard to say where everything's at. Everything's been up in the air so much since, like, March, so.
Well, and U Sports has said if there's no national championship held, and again, it's scheduled for Montreal right now, and Quebec's just a mess right now with the whole pandemic. But if there's no national championship, the year of eligibility won't be used. Would there ever be a chance that you'd go back for one more year if you didn't have to use your fifth year this year?
I don't know. It's so hard to say. Like, it runs through your mind for sure if you go back for that next year, but I don't know if I don't know if I could be a six year.
You mean your career of professional student isn't going to fly for very, very long? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know.
I mean, what was your reaction then? I mean, obviously we were all a little shocked and taken aback. What was your response in hearing that not only did U Sports cancel the national championship last year, but they're canceling Falls games as well coming into this season?
Yeah, I honestly never saw that one coming. I remember Sarah texted us and said Monday, or U Sports has an announcement on Monday, and there was already rumors going around that it wasn't going to be good, so we were all dreading the announcement for sure. But yeah, I never saw that one coming. It's hard to see because you see all these other sports returning, so you just don't understand why yours can't, but I understand.
Yeah. No, I mean,
on some areas, and it's just like, selfishly, I wish it could be different.
I mean, I think that's the rub, right? Like, we all want it to be a normal season, but it doesn't look like it's ever going to be a normal season. I got to ask, because I don't know. I mean, we've been lucky enough here in Manitoba. We've had a few players come in from other places across the world. Mm-hmm. You guys have a couple of imports on your team. Martina Maskova and Adela Juskova joined the Cougars. And I mean, for those who don't know, they both are from the Czech Republic. How have the Czech ladies been doing? More importantly, what have they learned from you guys and what have you learned from them?
They're good. I actually lived in the same house as them this year. They lived in the basement and we lived upstairs. So I saw them quite a bit. They're fun. It's fun to learn about how they do things and how their style of play matches ours and stuff. They're very both very hard workers and they play a different game for sure.
Well, I mean, Adela went from forward to defense this year. Was that a big change for her? Was she okay with it? Did she want to do that?
Yeah, I think on her national team they wanted her to play defense, so she switched over to that role on our team too as well, just to get that experience. And I think we need some extra skaters on our back end this year, so it worked out well. Yeah, she's doing good back there.
She didn't look out of place. I mean, I'll say from our view in the press box, it looked like she looked comfortable back there, which is, I mean, always important to see for a defender. So, I mean, yeah, it looks like she's okay. Speaking of new teammates and new teams, two new teams joining the fray this season, assuming there will be a season. The McEwen Griffins and Trinity Western Spartans will be on the schedule this year. Are you excited to see two new teams added to Canada West?
Yeah, it's nice to see the league growing and shrinking. So, I mean, there's been good and bad in it, but it'll be fun to have new competition. Hopefully we can get in some games against both of them just to see how they are. And I don't know, it's nice having another team in BC. It's a good trip out there, so if you have two, that will be even better, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, nothing wrong with that, that's for sure. You did mention shrinking. What was your reaction to the Lethbridge Pronghorns news that they were cutting their programs?
I just feel for the players, right? It's hard in any year to get that news, whether you're first, fifth, or like third year. I don't know, I couldn't imagine going into my fifth year and hearing that news. So I mean, we're sad that we don't even get a full season, but they don't get any. So
yeah, I mean, that's brutal. The other big news obviously came from the reigning powerhouse of the Canada West Conference. The Alberta Pandas aren't going to be on the schedule this year either after they decided to sit out this season. What's your reaction to that news?
Yeah, that one was shocking as well. It's I couldn't say I saw that one coming. It'll be a different league without them in it. They for sure, they play a good game and they're like such a tough team to play. So it'll be different not facing them this year if we do have our season.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I can't imagine a Canada West without Alberta. And I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, if and when the season gets going, it's going to be tough going. There's no Alberta team to talk about. Usually everybody, Alberta's at the top again. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be tough for us. I mean, as broadcasters, we were going, wait a minute. Like, that was like our, hey, look at Alberta. Hey, look at Alberta. Look how they're doing sort of thing every week. So, yeah, I'm going to find it weird as well. But I want to ask, because I think obviously people need to know, you know, the summer has been sort of rolling along and there's been a lot of bad news, but a little bit of good news in terms of what's going on. You came home to embrace the role of coach. How's the softball coaching been going for you so far?
Not bad. We started about two, three weeks ago. Finally, we're able to get going. I've been coaching for like three or four years now.
Yeah.
So it's fun. I coach with my dad, actually, my oldest sister. She's in grade eight. So it's different. It's different to be coaching than playing. So kind of switch roles for a bit.
We got a few minutes left, not a ton of time, but enough to have some fun here. We usually like to wrap up these chats a little bit of fun. So are you prepared to do a little name association? We'll give you a name, or I'll give you a name, and you give me a word or a sentence about each of these people, a story, whatever you got, who you've crossed paths with at some point in your hockey journey. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's start it off then with some fun. Former Capitals teammate and former Cougars teammate, Tamara McVannell.
Tamara McVannell. Okay, well, she was my roommate, actually, this year.
Okay.
A good story about her, right?
You don't have to give me just a word or a sentence or anything. If you're like, no, all those are, like, we can't talk about those on the air.
No, just the happiest person I've ever met. You won't catch that girl without a smile on her face ever.
No, that's awesome. That's exactly what we're looking for this. Former Canadian Olympian and current Regina Cougars skills coach, Colleen Sestorix.
Okay, so she runs our skills the D skills practices on Wednesdays, but
yeah,
she's super nice. She's has so much hockey knowledge, and she brings a lot when she comes. Everyone loves when she comes on the road if she can for a weekend, but she's a very busy lady too, so doesn't get around as much as she'd like to.
That's okay though. I mean, obviously she's family and all that. Former Cougars teammate and newly signed professional hockey player with Modo in the SDHL, JC Magwood.
I don't know. She was we'll miss her next year. She was our goal scorer, so hopefully she keeps going with that in Sweden, I believe.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, super exciting stuff for her, so good she's still going.
You mentioned about the book that she gave you to read, but current hockey coach, Sarah Hodges.
What about Sarah? She, I can't even think of something to say. I don't know.
All the time you spent with Sarah, and you have nothing comes to mind. Like, she's not like motivated or, you know, well organized or anything like that. Yeah. No.
No, she's an awesome coach. I'm glad I've got to play with her or play under her for the last 4 years. And
former Capitals teammate and longtime Saskatchewan Husky / arch rival, Emily Upgang.
Well, me and Emily were like best friends all through midget. So
yes,
this is fun. It's different playing against her now, but she's doing really well out in U of S too. So
you guys, you're saying you're not as friendly anymore? You guys sort of growl at each other on the ice now, or what?
No, we are friendly. Little friendly competition, right?
No, that's fine. I mean, like I said, it's just when you were like, yeah, you know, she was my best friend. I was like, oh, wait a minute, hold on a second. We have discussed a number of players and certainly a number of people on this show. Do you feel that, and again, we try and do as much as we can on the Bison broadcast. I don't know what, I mean, we try and watch some of the other broadcasts as well, but do you feel that this sport of women's hockey at the university level doesn't get as much promotion as it should get on a more national stage? And the reason I ask is that we always look at the development camps that happen over the summer with Hockey Canada, and there's very rarely U Sports players that go there. Do you feel that Hockey Canada and maybe the rest of the world is missing out on the best league, on the second best league, if you want to compare it to the NCAA, maybe on one of the best leagues anyway on the planet for Canadian women to develop?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of, like, I don't know what you want to call it, but something about going to the States if you're makes you all the better player. But I think our league's, like, super strong, and I mean, it proves that there's team, like, I mean, we got to face off two NCAA teams in preseason last year, and we lost both games, but we were right there with them there. So I think our league could have a lot more exposure. I think there's a lot of areas that could be improved. And I mean, just for girls, like, growing up and finding places to play and, like, realizing that Canada West is an option from a younger age would be better to grow our league and the rest of, yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. A couple of easier questions. You wore number 19 for the Capitals, number 12 for the Cougars. Are there any significance to those numbers for you?
19 was just my favorite number growing up. I was always 19 or 9.
Okay.
And going into Cougars, those were both taken, so.
So happy medium then, number 12, yeah?
3 from a list and ended up with 12, so I have no significance behind that number, but I don't mind it now. So
all right, okay, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Being that you have to live in Regina, obviously, to play in Regina, you mentioned that the Czechs, Maskova and Juskova, are both the are roommates of yours down in the basement. You live with Tamara McVannell. Were there any other roommates that you had during the school year?
I've actually lived with quite a few different teammates. My first year, I lived with Morgan Baker and Sam Geeky.
Okay.
Caitlin Crow. My second year, I lived with Mariah McCursey, who's actually coming back to our team.
Yes, yeah.
Her fifth year. And since then, I've lived with Caitlin Crow, and Tamara lived with us this year too, so.
We always seem to find that when teammates live together, one teammate kind of becomes the go-to cook. Who was the cook in your group?
Probably Caitlin Crow. She's the mom of our team, kind of. So she, if we're ever having a group dinner or something, she'll be the one to start cooking everything, and I let her.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Good job, Caitlin, by the way. What's the go-to pregame meal for Chelsea Halston?
Oh, I'm probably like the classic chicken and rice or chicken and salad.
Okay. Nothing wrong. Again, nothing wrong with that. Cheat day. What's the one food that we'll find you binging out on?
Pizza. Okay. Or ice cream.
No, again, totally fine. Nothing wrong with those. You mentioned you played, obviously, softball. You still play. Apparently, you're playing slow pitch over the summer. What position or positions do you play normally?
Well, when I played slow pitch, I like the outfield. Lots of pop flies out there, so they're fun to get.
Did you play outfield when you played, like, competitive softball as well?
No, I played back catcher.
Oh. Why?
Yeah.
Why catcher? I mean, of all places, and don't get me wrong, I mean, catchers, it's always busy back there, and you guys are always, you know, you and the pitcher are always working together, but, like, did you enjoy getting run over sometimes at home plate?
I guess so. I don't know. I just picked that position. I stuck with it. I really liked it.
Did you ever play with Tamara? Because she played at the Canada Summer Games.
No, I only played high school ball. Through high school, I didn't really get into the competitive side of softball. Stayed on the fun side of it.
That's okay. The fun side is exactly where I play too. So it's way more fun than trying to kill each other. Lastly, we're just about out of time. Lastly, I always find this question interesting, so I want to make sure I ask you. If you could go back and speak to Central Plains Capitals rookie sensation Chelsea Halston, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would have told myself to start working out more. before entering Canada West. And probably to be a little less hard on myself.
Were you pretty hard on yourself? Because it seems, I mean, don't get me wrong, Chelsea, I mean, this chat's been fun, but like, do you put a lot of pressure on yourself to maybe do more for what you do on the ice?
I think so. Like, I mean, you always want to be better than you were the year before. So it's hard to keep going, but I mean, just getting stronger over the years has definitely improved my game so much. So,
Chelsea, we are just about out of time. We are literally counting down the seconds here. I want to thank you for coming on and chatting with us tonight about Regina Cougars hockey, about your career, about being a Capital, about all of that stuff. Door is always open if you want to come back. Don't hesitate if you want to come back and promote anything. And we are looking forward to seeing you, knock on wood, in January, assuming that the season does get going. I want to wish you all the best this season in your fifth year, obviously. And hey, who knows? Maybe Regina can shock the world just like the Caps shocked the world in 2015.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So there is Chelsea Hulson of the Regina Cougars. Glad to have her on the show tonight, as we're hoping to see her at some point this season with who knows what's going to happen with the U Sports season, but hoping to see the Cougars come to town and play the Bisons at some point. Definitely get out and support the Bisons this season, folks. I know that we talk about that a lot on here, you know, coming out to see the team, but certainly more than ever this season, come out and see some of these great players. Chelsea, as we said, does wear number 12 for the Cougars, so you can at least pick up on a hometown kid, or close to hometown anyway, as she was in, she grew up in Starbuck. But lots to talk about still coming up this summer. We got other great U Sports, other great Canada West people coming on as well. Going to talk to a lot of young women who make up this great conference and certainly do a lot of great work on the ice at the Canada West level. In saying that, just want to make sure, if you're still looking for something to do this summer for one of your daughters, for both daughters, for any amount of daughters that you have, the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School is still going to be going on July 20th to 24th over at Gateway Recreation Center. Make sure you get your daughters enrolled in that. Head over to sammyjoesmall.ca, click on the hockey school option and choose Winnipeg, and then you can get all the details there. That is still happening. I want to make sure we promote that. Always a good time. Sammy always has an outstanding crew of instructors on hand as well. Really one of the best camps I've seen. Every single girl who leaves that camp has a monster smile on their face. It was rather awesome. I've been there the last couple of years doing radio. No radio, obviously, this year just because of social distancing. Won't get a chance to really sit down and talk with any of the instructors this year. But in saying that, though, always good to see Sammy and always good to see Billy Bridges when they come to town. Sammy and Billy, obviously, being a couple. And then, you know, daughter Kenzie as well, in terms of coming out to Winnipeg and spending time with family. But get your daughters enrolled in that. Great camp, and certainly well worth the money. If there is some concern about money, and obviously with the pandemic and people not being at work and people having, you know, trying to get back to work and all that kind of stuff, email Sammy. There's some information on there about a bursary as well. Sammy will see if she can help you out with the registration costs and making sure that your daughter can still get to camp if there's some concern about the cost of the camp. So get over there and check that out as soon as you can, and get your daughter registered. It looks like there may be a handful of spots left, but I would certainly get over there as soon as you can and check that out for sure. Looks like NHL might be back. Coming to a city named Toronto and or Edmonton. I am fully against the Edmonton idea, but you can read all about that over on Hockey Blog in Canada. Not really excited to see the NHL come back with some of the announcements, but maybe we'll get into that next week, maybe the week after, once we get some better ideas to what the rollout's going to be for that. I'm not going to break it down today. I'm not going to go through it today, obviously, but keep your eye on that, folks. There might be some problems with the way they start this season back up again. I'm concerned only because of some of the details that I'm hearing, but I could, again, these could just be rumors and completely false compared to what actually is done at the end of the day. With that, though, I'm going to get out of here for another week. It's been a great time talking with Chelsea Hulson again. Thank you to Chelsea for coming on. Thank you for giving us her thoughts on this shortened season that may happen at some point for Canada West. Again, folks, if you want to come out and see the Bisons play Chelsea and the Regina Cougars, make sure you keep your eye on the schedule. Be happy to have you down to the rink for that. Also, be happy to have you down for any of the other games. Get out and support the women when they come back, folks, and the men, too. Come out and support university hockey. It may be the only hockey you get to see this year, depending on what happens with everything else. So I know there's going to be MJ and stuff like that. I don't know if there's going to be WHL. They're planning on doing it, but at least we know that university hockey in January right now is a go. If it doesn't happen, well, we'll see what happens at that point. But from that point on, folks, we will leave you with some additional John Party, a selection by our guest tonight, Miss Chelsea Hollison, as this is Night Shift here on 101.5 UMFM. Stay tuned, Free Range Radio, coming up right away, folks.